Last week, we experienced another meltdown by the one-time Cherokee princess, Elizabeth Warren, when she became so desperate to gain traction in her presidential bid that she actually promised that she would only name the next Secretary of Education in her administration if that candidate was approved by a 9-year-old transsexual. It makes one wonder if at the last tribal council, Warren got hold of some bad peyote and fell from her saddle, landing on her head. A 9-year-old transsexual would pick Warren's Secretary of Education? Would she also use a 4-year-old papoose to pick the Secretary of Defense? You cannot make up the goofy things these Democrat candidates are saying and doing. Joe Biden can't remember where he is at any given moment or what he had for breakfast. The communist, Crazy Bernie, is promising to give away things not even yet invented. And Mayor Pete promises to bring with him to the White House a significant other and magic beans. All in all, the Democrats are again offering voters no alternative worth consideration. They shot themselves in the foot in 2016, and their blunderbuss is cocked and ready to fire again. This week's commentary in a moment. But first, a quick word about the Super Bowl halftime show. The word? Disgusting. Those who say we didn't have to watch it miss the point. It was on in many restaurants and other public places and came into our homes over public airways. Many young people watch the game in a room away from their parents. In our case, we watched because we could not believe what we were seeing and wanted to know just how raunchy it would get. I'm no prude. I'm a Navy vet, and I've seen worse. Not much worse, and certainly not often, but this was a national event for family entertainment. Shakira came out first with a hoochie-coochie routine to equal the raunchiest county fair. Her pelvis was still gyrating all through the second half of the game. Some call that Latino culture, but I know many Latinos, and that's not their culture. That's gutter culture. Then came Jennifer Lopez, who calls herself simply Jenny from the block. Boy, that was some block. She is now 50 years old and a mother. Granted, she has taken care of her body. But where was the talent from either one of them? When they tried to sing the words, they were inaudible. So they made the most of their so-called dancing, even employing a stripper pole. I have a wife of 55 years, a daughter and 2 wonderful granddaughters. I detest those who demean women and portray them as sex objects, and that's what Shakira and Lopez did in their halftime performance. It was not art. It wasn't entertainment, unless you call crotch-grabbing and pelvis hunching entertainment. It was graphic and it was crude, meant for a sex shop venue full of drunk men. I was blessed to be able to spend 9 days at the Roundhouse in Trial, Montego Bay, Jamaica, from January 23rd until February 1st. That house has been owned for more than 30 years by our good friends George and Ann Beasley, and they've been kind enough to have us visit with them every year, sometimes twice a year. So Jamaica feels like home in many ways when we are there. It's called the Roundhouse because it sits carved into the mountain and the porch curves around, giving you an incredible view of the championship golf course below and out over the sea. It is there where one can contemplate what's going on around the world, and especially in the United States. I watched some of the circus of impeachment on television, but not much. Watching Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler, for me, is worse than having a root canal. Both are conniving liars who will look the camera in the face and lie when the lie is obvious and totally unnecessary. I had lots of time to think on that porch about what Democrats have done to our country over the past 3 years since Donald Trump was elected president. Remember, the move to drive Trump from office began even before he took office. That desperate attempt began when Democrats, refusing to honor the electoral process that previous presidents had enjoyed, simply went on the warpath. They were so obsessed with Hillary Clinton losing the presidency that they went blind from hate. None of them stopped to think that the American people had not been offered a true alternative to Donald Trump. The Clinton political machine pushed this unethical woman through the primary, using dirty tactics against her opponent, Bernie Sanders. It was more of the same chicanery that the Clintons have used for years. But it wasn't just the Clintons. Sanders was undercut by the Democrat National Committee, who followed dishonest people like Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Donna Brazile. Brazile has admitted to slipping questions, slated for answers, by the media, from Clinton and Sanders to Hillary, early on to give Hillary the advantage. Many Sanders supporters fought back by not voting for Hillary or even voting for Trump. They had every reason to be angry, and the Democrats are trying the same tactics for the election slated for November 2020. I am certainly no fan of Bernie Sanders. I consider him a communist because he is, and a socialist who chose Russia for his honeymoon haven and had a Russian flag hanging in his office on the wall in Vermont. Sanders has backed every socialist dictator across the world, from Iran to Venezuela. He is promising a free ride for everybody in order to be elected, and even the possibility of a Sanders presidency should send chills down your spine. Nevertheless, it is the American people who should choose our president, not the DNC. Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, and a few others have gone on record saying that they cannot allow the American people to make the decision on who will be the president. You and I are too ignorant to trust. So who should make the decision on the next president? Pelosi, Schiff, Nadler, Maxine Waters, and far-left party Democrats, if they have their way. Since the election of our first president, George Washington, the American people themselves had followed the Constitution and held the power to elect presidents. Democrats, fearing that voters will dismiss their socialist candidates, seek to eliminate Donald Trump from the competition. But it's not just Trump. Some Democrats, including Mad Maxine Waters, have said publicly that once they can drive Trump from office, they intend to turn around and use their venom on Vice President Pence. They want to drive him out, too. That would make Nancy Pelosi president. Let's remember that this whole impeachment farce began as Democrats claimed that Donald Trump had colluded with Russia to interfere in the 2016 election. They said it over and over again. They pushed American taxpayers into an investigation led by Robert Mueller that went on for more than 2 years at an enormous cost. In the end, Mueller could find no evidence of a Trump-Russia collusion. There was a great gnashing of teeth among Democrats, but Mueller's team knew from the first few months of the investigation that there had been no collusion, but they went on to generate hate Trump headlines and destroy the lives of people connected to Trump in any way. But with the publication of the Mueller report, Democrats had to scramble to find another lie to lodge against the president. They did put forth other lies, several of them, that failed to gain traction, before they settled on a letter President Trump had sent to the new Ukrainian president. That president in the Ukraine had been elected to corral corruption. He had promised to deal with that corruption in Ukraine. Trump himself had been elected, largely on his promise to root out corruption here and abroad, where American tax dollars were being misused. That brought out the sharp knives from Democrats, who had been feasting on the corruption in foreign aid. Our tax dollars were being sent to Ukraine ostensibly to help arm them against the Russians, but much of that money was coming back into the pockets of Democrats. John Kerry, Nancy Pelosi, and Joe Biden had relatives on the payroll of corrupt Ukrainian companies. Mitt Romney, who is no more a Republican than a moron is a genius, enjoyed the benefits for his relative. That cash boomerang netted Hunter Biden millions of dollars for sitting on the board of Burisma, an oil and gas giant, and the most corrupt of all the Ukrainian corrupt companies. Hunter Biden had no experience in Burisma's business. He didn't even speak the Ukrainian language. And yet, he was paid more than $83,000 a month to sit on their board. The truth is that Hunter Biden had nothing to offer that board except access to Barack Hussein Obama's vice president, and through him, access to the president, who had put Joe Biden in charge of Ukraine and China. In both countries, Ukraine and China, Hunter Biden found himself swamped with cash. Forget about Donald Trump for a moment. This is American tax money we're talking about, and the American people need to know why it kept flowing back to Hunter Biden, who had no experience in the businesses paying him in Ukraine or in China. If it was all above board, I'd like to know that, wouldn't you? But not the Democrats. They have circled the wagons to protect Joe Biden, who they hope would be their presidential candidate in 2020. President Trump, just as he promised, in order to get elected, began by investigating corruption in the most corrupt country in the world, Ukraine. That makes sense to everyone, except Democrats, blinded by their own desperate desire to regain power. Forget about all the previous claims Democrats had lodged against Trump in an effort to run him out of office. Suddenly, it was all about a quid pro quo between the presidents of Ukraine and the United States. Trump had asked the Ukrainian president to cooperate in an investigation of corruption involving billions of U.S. dollars each year. Trump had every right, and indeed he had a responsibility, to follow through on the promise he made to root out corruption that had been going on for decades. Democrats were quick to spread yet another lie, this time that Trump wanted an investigation of Joe Biden for his personal benefit. Well, that was not true unless such an investigation found the Bidens were involved in corruption in Ukraine for their own personal benefit. Think about this. Who among us, Republicans or Democrats, can honestly say that given the evidence pointing to Ukrainian corruption involving American politicians, it should not have been investigated? If Hunter or Joe Biden were not involved in that corruption, they had nothing to worry about. But Democrats know that if something smells rotten, it should be investigated. After all, they've been investigating Trump for more than 3 years without finding anything to lead to his removal from office. the same demonic Democrats who accuse Donald Trump of a quid pro quo with Ukraine without any real proof to back them up, try to ignore the undeniable proof of a quid pro quo between Joe Biden and Ukraine. Biden, whose huge ego drives him to exaggerate and brag, is on videotape bragging about a quid pro quo with Ukraine, where Biden used $1 billion of our tax dollars bound for Ukraine to pressure Ukraine to fire the prosecutor who was looking into Burisma's corrupt activity, while Joe's son Hunter was a part of the board and drawing $83,000 a month. Joe Biden threatened to withhold $1 billion for Ukraine assistance from the American taxpayers unless the prosecutor was fired, and he gave Ukraine just 6 hours to fire him. They did fire the prosecutor, and Joe Biden left them the $1 billion. Biden and the Obama administration have tried to claim that the prosecutor was unfair, but that was unproven, and Joe Biden had no right to make that arbitrary decision, especially when his son was in the middle of that investigation. There can be no better proof of a quid pro quo than the evidence that came directly from the mouth of Joe Biden. Democrats want American voters to elect Joe Biden as president, a man who actually did what Democrats claim without proof that Trump might have done. How hypocritical can one be? Under the precedent that Democrats have now established regarding a quid pro quo as an impeachable offense, if Joe Biden were to be elected president, Republicans would have to immediately impeach him. Unlike the unproven Democrat claims of a quid pro quo against Trump, there is direct and indisputable evidence of a quid pro quo between Joe Biden as vice president and Ukraine. Meanwhile, the American people had been told for months that Donald Trump was a national security risk that had to be dealt with urgently. This could not wait, they told us. Yet, when the House Democrats rammed through the impeachment without allowing the president to call witnesses or defend himself, Nancy Pelosi sat on those articles of impeachment for more than a month. What happened to that urgency? The articles of impeachment that Nancy Pelosi finally sent over to the Senate under pressure were bogus, and Democrats knew it. That's why they stalled, just as they did with the Judge Kavanaugh hearing, while looking for what the dishonest media could call a bombshell so great that it demanded more witnesses be called in the Senate trial. In the Kavanaugh hearing, the media bombshell came when a woman appeared out of nowhere to claim that Kavanaugh was guilty of sexual assault decades ago while a young man in college. She had no evidence. She could not remember where it happened, who was there, how she got there, or how she got home. She did remember that she was underage and had been drinking alcohol. Despite that last-minute miracle witness the Democrats drug out at the last minute, Kavanaugh was confirmed to the Supreme Court. Now, confronted by the fact that their impeachment circus tent was about to collapse, Democrats used the same tired last-minute tactic. This latest bombshell suddenly appeared in, where else, the liberal, Trump-hating New York Times, when they published a supposed claim by John Bolton that Trump had told him they should put a hold on the next $400 million bound for Ukraine until that government agreed to cooperate in the investigation of corruption involving American taxpayer money. If Trump did not do that, he certainly had a responsibility to do that to protect American interests. But Bolton's new book, supposedly has that claim in it, has not even been published nor verified in any way. Given that Bolton was fired by Trump and is known to hold grudges, there is no telling what he might allege, and there was no evidence in Bolton's words that Trump wanted an investigation only of the Bidens. Trump sought an investigation of corruption by American politicians who had been siphoning off foreign aid money for decades. The fact that Joe and Hunter Biden might be two of those dishonest politicians did not mean that the president should turn his head the other way. Ironically, this is the same John Bolton that Democrats have for decades told us was erratic, untrustworthy, a warmonger, and a danger to our national interests. Suddenly, John Bolton was completely trustworthy and not at all a danger to our national interests. If John Bolton was so crucial to the articles of impeachment, he should have been called to witness on the House floor. Democrats claim that they wanted to call him, but the president exerted executive privilege to stop him. The same executive privilege that other presidents have exerted, including Bill Clinton and Barack Hussein Obama. But if Bolton was indeed so crucial, the Democrats could have gone to court seeking his testimony. They did not do so because they did not know at the time what Bolton might say, and it would delay their desire to remove Trump from office immediately. They were that deranged and in that much of a hurry. The Senate did vote on the rule of the Articles of Impeachment the House had sent over, and not to open a new investigation of their own or call more witnesses. The Constitution is clear. The House impeaches, and the Senate confirms or rejects. That's checks and balances. Democrats knew that the president would be acquitted, and yet they continued to drag on their circus through February 5th, when the Senate acquitted President Trump. The Democrat response was to celebrate what they had tried to do to the president and vow to start up new impeachment proceedings. That is how morally bankrupt the Democrat Party has become. In just 9 months, the American voters will reach their own conclusions and judgment in polling booths all across the country. For Democrats to keep wasting time and money on these witch hunts to gain back power is an insult to the intelligence of the American people. The question before us, Republicans and Democrats, is whether or not we want these partisan witch hunts to continue with future presidents. Do we want impeachment to lose all meaning and be simply a bludgeon to be used by the minority party against the majority party? That's a serious question, and one that should be answered in November by taking the House away from a petulant Democrat Party and returning Donald Trump to the White House. I thank you for listening today. It's been a chaotic few months with the Democrats, mostly Adam Schiff, sometimes Jerry Nadler, when Schiff couldn't stop him from getting to the podium first, rattling on with things they knew darn well were phony. It's not even like we don't know. We do know. The Democrats know. Donald Trump, for instance, is a racist. How did we get that? Because the Democrats said so. And they said so over and over and over again. That's an old communist ploy that says repeat it often enough, and people will believe it. There is, now, Donald Trump may be a lot of things, but he is not a racist. He is not. There is no evidence. Nobody has shown any evidence as to why he's a racist. Some have said, well, he's a racist because he doesn't want all these illegal aliens pouring in across the border. And they're people of color. They're brown. What difference does that make? They're illegal aliens. They could be white. They could be Irish. They could be Czechs that are coming across. They could be Russians that are trying to come across. Some of them, indeed, are terrorists that are trying to come across, not necessarily with dark skins. That doesn't make Donald Trump a racist. But that's what the Democrats have hammered into us again and again and again. We're too easy in this country to lob these words. You know, you're against transsexuals if you don't believe that men should beat up on women in a boxing ring. That's where we've fallen to. Sad but true. Thank you again for listening. I'll be back again next week. God willing. Same time, same station.